VidCast Live. My name is Benjamin Higginbotham. With me is a beautiful, wonderful, lovely, and talented Carrie Ann Higginbotham. We're doing this podcast live on TalkShoe. For the first time in a long, long time, actually, we used TalkShoe a couple of years ago with Technology Evangelist, and we figured we'd try to make this a community chat one more time. So we do have a bunch of people joining us. We've got Chris, Gooey, Jeff, Leah, Uncle BS, which I don't think means what you think it means, and then Colton is also on the phone, and then a bunch more people. Oh, M. Halsinger, Emmenstyle, I think is how you pronounce it, all joining us via phone, via dial-in, and then we've got a bunch of people in the chat room itself. A couple housekeeping items. First off, Space VidCast Live 2.13, which we just recorded this last Friday. We've had some issues with it. That was with Chris and Blair, and it was a fantastic episode. We really liked it. It was a lot of fun. They're a hoot and a holler, but the episode was overmodulated. There was just an issue with the audio, and the upload didn't work on YouTube at all. So it was interesting because I mistyped the number of the episode. I started at 212, and then I skipped 213 and went to 214, and someone asked if I was how did they word that again?
Superstitious.
Someone asked if I was superstitious, and I said, no. I just messed up the numbering, and then I went back and numbered it, and now this episode is not working at all. It just sounds awful. Anyhow, that's that. And then Fred from Team FredNet sounds like he will not be able to join us for this coming Friday's show. He's got a little bout of bronchitis. So he's down. We're going to have to reschedule him for a future show. Obviously, bronchitis is a big deal, so we're not going to be like, no, you need to be on the show. So we'll either we haven't decided if we're going to postpone the entire show itself, if we're going to schedule a new guest, or if we're just going to do this show without the guest. Now we will bring Fred on in the future. It's not that he's not coming on at all. He just won't be able to make it on for this particular show. What were the other housekeeping items? Donations. We had a couple people enter in donations, and this is going towards our ISDC 09 run. We're going to try to make it to the International Space Developers Conference at the end of
May.
And in order to do that, we need to raise around $2,000 or so for Carrie Ann and I both to make us there. Make it there. And we've had a couple people donate. We've got Starbucks Diva, who's helped us out. Do you remember who? There was
Corkspin.
Corkspin and
Wolf Spirit.
Great. The three of them are helping make that go. In addition to their donations, which we thank them greatly for, we've also had we've been selling off a bunch of my old electronics, and I think we're up to around $600 of the $2,000 that we need to raise. So we're $1,400 away from being able to actually do that. So that's pretty cool and exciting. All right, the main topic for today is going to be Constellation and what's happening with that, because it sounds like they're trying to desperately reach the 2015 launch of Orion and bringing Orion back up to the International Space Station. And it's sounding like that's just not going to happen. There are a bunch of problems, delays and issues. We've got the Ares 1X that's going to be launching here soon. But then there's talk of Hanley. It's I don't remember his name. Anybody?
Hanley. I have no idea what you're talking about, unfortunately.
Jeff. Jeff Hanley. I figured if I just had enough on-air silence, we'd eventually get to it. Has basically said, all right, there are a bunch of things that we need to do to make sure that the Ares Orion flights don't slip. And one of them is getting rid of Ares 1Y test flight completely and just getting rid of it.
Wait, not doing a test flight?
No, the Ares 1Y, not the Ares 1X.
Oh, okay.
So that is the that's the test where they make the first stage disposable, so they can actually just dump that.
Okay.
The second thing is he's going to switch from Orion 4 to being the fully operational vehicle, fully operational capability or something like that, FOC, to Orion 3. So they're going to move that up. And there are a bunch of other things, and they're basically going to they're going to continue to try to target the 2015 manned debut of Orion. And it's interesting because, you know, this is Well, and Jeff is saying that Aries is going to slip repeatedly, and it's kind of fun because, you know, there are a bunch of people in the Space Vidcast chat room who don't think that Aries is ever going to fly. I mean, it may go up and then explode. Jeff, how do you word that again? You say it's going to
jackknife.
He's going to jackknife, and then there are others who say that it's going to work just fine, and that, you know, you look at the shuttle program and the first test flight, you know, not landing but actual vertical takeoff was manned. And Jeff is saying it'll jackknife within 2 to 30, I assume.
3,000 feet.
There we go. Yeah, and then, you know, Chris is saying it'll fly after multiple delays and cost overruns. But you know what? It's a next generation vehicle, and it is difficult to do this stuff, and there's a lot of cost involved in doing this, and it is rocket science. I know that's pun's been used many times before, but, you know, it's hard. So yeah, there probably will be cost overruns and delays. But eventually, they're trying to go back to the moon, and this vehicle is going to be launching the Orion up to the International Space Station. Eventually, it's going to be helping push it to the moon. You know, so I do think it's going to be delayed, and I do think there are going to be issues. I think the big gap, realistically for everyone, is the 5-year delay between the end of the shuttle program and the beginning of Ares, or the Constellation program. So, I don't know. I'm not sure that it's that huge of an issue. I guess I would, if I could, I'm going to throw it over to Jeff, if you don't mind, and he hasn't actually raised his hand. But Jeff is pretty vocal about it just not going, just not launching at all. And why is that? I mean, what is it about Aries that you just think is going to, as you put it, jackknife?
Well, my biggest issue is the fact that it's got so many issues with thrust oscillation. It's to the point where they're actually concerned about the astronauts' brains basically being smashed against the inside of the skull. It's more serious than what they're saying. A lot of the rocket engineers are concerned about it. The astronaut corps itself is concerned, and nobody's really even paying attention to them. So it's a little more serious than, you know, NASA's actually admitting.
Yeah, but why? I mean, what is it about? Why wouldn't they just? They're a public entity. I mean, they can't hide this stuff. Why wouldn't they just come out and say it?
Same reason that Michael Griffin is still admitting that, you know, he said after this official study was just released, he said that the Atlas and the Delta are more efficient than the Ares is, and he called it fiction, even though it was officially proven otherwise.
Well, I kind of disagreed with that one. Although it was more along the lines of, could you use the Atlas or Delta rockets as a lift vehicle for Orion? And the study wasn't a conclusive yes, you can. It was more of a, they need to be retrofitted, but it could be done. It's not just a, you can drop Orion on the top and off you go. There was a lot of work that would need to be put in those vehicles.
Yes, that's true. They have to get it man-rated. They have to add a few sensors to the engines. They have to, you know, check for strain gauges. They got to verify that you know, it's within safe human limits. And obviously, you know, that's a little bit of effort. It's not much of a mass penalty. But given the fact that Ares is so heavy and so inefficient for being a solid booster versus liquid, it's much less efficient than Delta or Atlas would be.
And I think GUI had a question as well. Is that correct, GUI? Nope, we just had a thump. All right. I think his question is, let me scroll back, see if I can find it. Do we know what the problem is? Why is it oscillating so much?
Okay, the reason it's oscillating so much is because they already know what the results are for the 4-segment booster that the shuttle carries. They know the harmonics. They're going to have, you know, there's a certain pressure wave that builds up because each segment has a gap between it and the fuel. And in the gap, there's a vortice, there's a vortex that creates a barrier for the pressure above it. When that pressure hits that vortex, that eddy in the current, it creates a problem. With the 5-segment booster, those eddies are more different. Those harmonics are different, and instead of being a reliable, stable pressure, it's massively varied compared to the 4-stage. It's basically a new design. The shaking is because the pressure waves built up by the new segment and the difference. It's like blowing into a milk jug. If you fill the milk jug or a soda bottle to a given level, its harmonics are going to be different than if it was empty. And that's the exact same thing as what Aries is facing.
And you don't see a solution for this? I mean, they've known about this for a while. This is not a new issue. I've heard about this for years now. So they've got some of the smartest people in the world working on this.
Their solution was adding two systems to basically mute or deaden the sound. One of them is adding 500 pounds of mass to the base of the Aries first stage, which is solid, active boosters, kind of like JADL bottles almost, small rocket bottles that are computerized so that each time the Aries flexes, it actually fires those little rockets in a pulse to help stabilize the lower part of the rocket. On the upper side of the first stage, they've got a shock, basically a shock absorber system to absorb all the impact and the shock from the first stage as it transfers into the second stage so that the crew isn't, you know, shaking nearly as much as it would be normally without that. So it's an active and passive dampening system.
And that's still not enough?
In my opinion, no. I think it's still going to shake because the center of pressure and the center of mass, or I'm sorry, the center of gravity, are too close together, and they just happen to be right at this at the inner stage between the first and second, where that neat little adapter cone is. That's the weakest point, and it's also the point with the most structural concerns. So I think it is going to jackknife right at the top of Aries 1 first stage.
I think it's funny you call it jackknifing. I think Leah had a question as well. Leah?
I was just wondering, why is this going to be that much worse than the Apollo shots?
Because this can't be resolved. The
Apollo. But I mean, it's the same kind of general idea. Why would this shake more than the other?
During the Apollo launches on the Saturn rocket, they had what was called Pogo. And it's kind of like if you've ever learned how to drive a clutch, manual transmission, you get that lurching, that shaking, That was resolved in liquid fuel by adding a couple extra dampeners in the fuel flow itself. With Aries, it's a continuous flow, solid flow of the fuels being burned, and it's gonna. They're not gonna face Pogo. They're just gonna face basically. It's similar to it, but it's also gonna flex side to side a bit because it is so long. So that's, you know, that's about the best way I can explain it, I think.
Are you saying it's partly because of the difference in the solid fuel versus the liquid fuel?
Yeah, the way it's burned, yeah. The liquid fuel was an easy fix. They basically just add like a baffle inside the tube, you know, the feed line, and it's not such an issue. There's nothing they can do with the solid booster because it's a star pattern optimized. The grain is optimized for the best fuel rate to give out the most thrust, so to speak. There's not much they can change there.
All right. Any other questions from those in the audience? Or are we gonna?
Brian's asking if he says he might have missed it, but is the STS? So I imagine the shuttle is what you're talking about. Suffer the same kind of vibration?
It's not the same kind of vibration. They would if it wasn't for the external tank. But because the external tank being full of liquid, those shocks, or, I'm sorry, the struts that support the SRBs, those struts actually absorb and then dissipate a lot of that energy into the liquids.
So, Jeff, what do you do if Aries 1X actually does launch and it actually is a very smooth and wonderful flight?
I will clap. I will absolutely be thrilled.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've been, I don't think you're an anti-NASA per se, but you're definitely looking at the Aries program going, this doesn't make sense. You've been pretty vocal about that in the chat room, so I thought it'd be interesting to bring you in and get your perspective on it.
I hope it does, but if it's as bad as all the things I've seen between having to reduce the mass of the Orion project, I mean, they've had to shave that thing down. They've put it on such a disgusting diet, it makes me sick. And it makes me sad to see how it was organized. You don't design a rocket. The management shouldn't design a rocket. Most rockets are designed, you have a payload, a given payload, and a rocket is built to carry that. This is the exact opposite. They have a rocket, now we have to find something that carries enough people and make it small enough so that it works.
Well, isn't that how it's normally done, though?
No,
I mean, isn't that how it's normally
done? Exactly the opposite.
No, you look at, now hang on, you look at the space shuttle, and you look at the Hubble, they built the Hubble to the size of what you could build, stick in the space shuttle. Same thing with the ISS. The ISS is built around their capability of sticking it into the space shuttle and no larger. So it's the cargo is built around the launch vehicle, not the other way around.
Right. I understand that, but the shuttle isn't necessarily a launch vehicle per se. It's more of a space vehicle, a spacecraft. The SRB is with the external tank is what verifies it as a launch vehicle.
Okay, but even looking at the Russian space program, they're only able to bring up what their Soyuz program can bring up. So it's still built around the rocket, is it not? I mean, they don't build bigger, badder rockets to bring up bigger segments of the International Space Station. They put on there what they can, and then they launch the rocket.
Right. Well, I guess the easiest way I can explain it is when you're designing, all right, if you're designing a capsule, you know how much that capsule is going to weigh. You have to have something that's capable of carrying that. The way Mike Griffin and his, I guess you could call them lackeys, the way he designed it was basically you take the booster, which is a given quote-unquote thrust, and put something on top so that it's not too heavy that it can't make it to orbit, but not so heavy that, you know, or not too heavy to make it to orbit, but not so light that you end up having to sacrifice the manned capability.
All right, before we go, do we have any final questions for Jeff, or are we going to end this? I think it's still a little bit early, right, because we're not even going to be launching the Ares 1X for a little while yet, although it is launching in 2009, supposedly. And Carrie Ann has a question. She literally raised her hand in person.
I raised my hand because the way you've apparently got the chat room, you can't see what's going on. So Gooey's asking, couldn't they just use the same rocket technology they used in Apollo if it's for the same purpose Orion is, essentially?
Yeah, so couldn't they just use the Saturn V, essentially? Yeah, but wasn't the whole idea behind the Ares program to reuse the technology we had built in the shuttle program?
Since Ares, the center of pressure versus center of gravity are so close, the arm is much less and therefore susceptible to many more vibrations.
Right, but going back to who had the question? Gooey?
Gooey.
Going back to Gooey's question, and that is actually an interesting thing that was brought up. Why don't they just use the old Saturn V technology? Well, isn't the answer to that, and Jeff helped me out with this, I believe the answer to that was they wanted to design a new rocket based on what they had learned in the shuttle program and reuse a lot of the shuttle people, parts, equipment, and whatnot. That was the original idea, at least, wasn't it?
That was the original idea, but if I may, I'd like to borrow your soapbox for a minute.
Absolutely. Here you go.
All right. The space shuttle is the whole point to Ares was simple, safe, soon. They wanted to take shuttle derived hardware and apply it into a real, applicable, feasible concept, which would be Ares. That means using, in theory, a 4-segment booster, the shuttle main engines, the same fuel design, you know, 6-to-1 hydrogen versus oxygen, and, you know, that. In that aspect, they wanted everything to be shuttle derived. They wanted the same size external tank. They wanted that to be the same size for the core on Ares, for Ares 5, and all these other concepts. What they ended up doing was completely, you know, pardon my language, but they bastardized it, put a 5-segment booster, which is now a new design booster, so it's completely different from, you know, the original concept. They're using RS-68s, which are the engines from the Delta rockets, the Delta IV Heavy, which is an awesome rocket, but it's not shuttle-derived in any way aside from the color, really. That's all it is anymore.
Well, yeah, I think this was an interesting conversation, and, you know, Jeff, if you want to stay on the line, I think for tomorrow's show what we'll do is we'll talk about you know, I totally had it, and I just completely lost it because we were just talking about areas and where. Oh, you know what? Jupiter Direct, because you're a pretty big advocate of Jupiter Direct, are you not?
Oh yes, I am.
All right, why don't we do this for tomorrow's show? We'll talk about Jupiter Direct. So for all of you joining us live, make sure to tune in tomorrow. It's www.spacevidcast.com. We'll have a show about Jupiter Direct, and you can join us live by following our Twitter stream. We record a bunch of these in advance, and you can follow us at twitter.com/spacevidcast and figure out when we're doing these recordings and ask your questions, participate live, be part of the community. It's tons of fun, and get your voice heard. Whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. We just are here to facilitate the conversation, and I think that a good well-respected debate, a respectable debate, is good because it increases our knowledge base.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Whether you agree or disagree with what NASA's doing, certainly voice your opinion here. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.